Joanna Branch is getting sick of the emails and phone calls. She's in charge of buying drugs for Northern Hospital in Mount Airy, and she hears constantly from companies that say they have drugs she can't find anywhere else.
I mean, it's like talking to a used car salesman. It's like whatever they can do to push it to get you to buy it.
The calls come from area codes in Georgia, Florida, Maryland, and other states. And she says they can get ugly.
They'll say, oh, we got a little bit of this one in. It's going really quick. Do you want me to put your name on it? You know, it's going to be gone and you're not going to get any. Yeah, they do that a lot.
The companies are called secondary wholesalers, and they operate outside the normal drug supply. Usually, manufacturers sell drugs to a primary wholesaler, which then sells directly to the hospitals. But with drug shortages, some secondary wholesalers have found an opportunity. The pharmacy director for Carolina's healthcare system, Kevin Isaacs, explains.
An enterprising attorney general could probably prove that there are people out there buying these drugs up in anticipation of a shortage, then calling buyers at facilities inciting panic.
And also charging outrageous prices. It's what a congressional report from last summer calls the gray market. Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings has emerged as a leader on the issue.
There's absolutely no way that we can allow a situation to go on where at the beginning of the day, a vial of life-saving drugs cost $7, and by the end of that day, it cost $700. That just makes no sense whatsoever.
Here's how it often happens. A small independent pharmacy sets up shop. It gets a license with the State Board of Pharmacy and then signs a contract with a primary wholesaler. John Gray is the CEO of the association representing primary wholesalers.
So the idea is that when the customer signs on, that they're buying product that they're going to dispense directly.
To patients, not to another wholesaler. But some small pharmacies break their contracts and sell to secondary or gray market wholesalers. Congressman Cummings says that's where things get crazy.
We've seen where a drug may be sold in the gray market 5 or 6 times in the course of a day.
One wholesaler sells it to a second, then a third, and so on, sometimes without the drugs actually changing hands. Cummings says their paper transactions used to jack up the price.
The price can go up easily 20, 30, 40 times in a day.
One of the drug wholesalers that called hospitals in the Carolinas was International Pharmaceuticals in a small brick office building in Durham. A few years ago, a North Carolina regulator came here and noticed something odd. International Pharmaceuticals, the wholesaler, had a pharmacy set up in the back of the office.
In setting up their retail pharmacy in the back of this building, they were purchasing products from legitimate wholesalers and then transferring the product to their wholesale distributor here as a separate business.
That's Dan Reagan. He heads North Carolina's regulation of drug wholesalers. To make sure you caught what he was saying, the pharmacy was buying drugs in short supply and selling them to a wholesaler a few feet away. And those two companies had the exact same owner. The pharmacy had to shut down and the wholesaler's license wasn't renewed. Reagan says the only thing illegal about what they did was this. The pharmacy acted like a wholesaler without having a wholesaler's license.
When these laws were created back in the 1980s, they were probably focusing more on the integrity of the product.
Shortages in the gray market weren't really problems back then. So even though it's illegal in North Carolina to jack up the price of water during a hurricane, you can charge as much as you want for a cancer drug during a shortage, as long as you have a wholesaler's license. That's how it plays out in state law. In federal law,
it's very difficult to determine exactly where the line is drawn.
Again, Congressman Elijah Cummings. He says federal law does not sufficiently address the gray market, but he's hoping to change that this year. California's legislature has already passed an electronic tracking system to make it easier to see how many times a drug changes hands. Virginia Harold is the executive officer of the California Board of Pharmacy.
So we're thinking prosecution will be a lot easier, and hence bad behavior will stop because it's more likely to be detected.
But here's the catch. California passed the law almost 10 years ago, and the tracking system still isn't up and running. Harold says it's an incredibly complicated task requiring new systems and technology for the manufacturers and the rest of the supply chain. Plus, wholesalers sell drugs across state lines. Here's the executive director of North Carolina's Board of Pharmacy, Jay Campbell.
The only way any sort of tracking is ever going to work is it's going to have to be done at the federal level.
And there's another problem with the gray market that's tough to track. If the people applying for a wholesale license in one state got busted in another. For example, the former sales manager of International Pharmaceuticals in Durham is now the owner of KY Meds, a company with active wholesale licenses in Kentucky, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. For WFAE News, I'm Michael Tomczyk in Charlotte.